Welcome to Peace, Health, and Joy with Diana Wallace, a designated space in your life to receive encouragement, equipping, empowerment, and hopefully even entertainment. You guessed it, with that alliterative intro for ease, I'm a former pastor's wife and homeschool mom. But also, I've been a holistic wellness coach specializing in mysterious, hopeless situations by actively partnering with the Holy Spirit in my work since 2006. If you're looking for a unique approach to integrating wellness of spirit, soul, and body from a Christian perspective, you are in the right place. My southern accent shares my Arkansas roots, but these days my home is in Alaska. I'm tickled pink for you to join me today. Let's get started. Welcome back to Peace, Health, and Joy with Diana Wallace. And today I am so excited to share something with you that has been on my heart for quite a while. And today's the day we get to talk about this. It has to do with how do you encourage yourself? How do you encourage yourself? Okay, straight up in the world, crazy stuff happens. In fact, right now, a lot of people feel like a lot of crazy stuff is happening right now. And we can feel, okay, at best, distracted. We may feel overwhelmed. And I believe some are even bordering on feeling hopeless. But today, I have some encouragement for you and even a few principles, I hope, to help you stir up hope in yourself to feel encouraged. And a lot of our content that we're going to talk about today comes from the book of Samuel in the Bible. So it's 1 Samuel in the 30th chapter. And I'm just going to read a little bit of this to you, and then we're going to unpack it together. And I am so confident that you are going to feel encouraged and strengthened in the Lord, not just while you're listening to this episode, but I believe that the things that are sown into you as you're listening to this today are going to stick with you. And God's going to bring them back to mind as new stuff happens in life. And the principles, the word of God, like the Prince of Peace that is here with us, who wants to minister to you today, he's going to meet you in all the things that are to come. Okay, so let's take a minute. Let's look back in time. Let's look at how King David learned to strengthen himself, or how he encouraged himself. Different translations different translations translate this verse that I'm going to reference here in a moment a little differently. So let's read together. All right. 1 Samuel chapter 30. There goes my notes onto the floor. Verse 6. Okay. Well, actually, we're going to read not all of chapter 30, but let's just start. Okay. Now, when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had made a raid against Negeb and against Ziklag. They had overcome Ziklag and burned it with fire. Okay. So Ziklag is actually where like David's wives and his children and the wives and children of his men were in Ziklag, okay? But then the bad guys came and like burned the city, took the wives and the children and their stuff. Let's see here. Taking captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great. They killed no one, but carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, they found it burned with fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Not a good day in David land, right? Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. I got to say here, right here, the people that were with David, these weren't just like your common normal people who maybe were like running to Walmart to pick up a few things. Okay. This is not your normal people. These were like the mightiest men in the land. This was King David. Well, future King David. Well, David. It was David. it was David and his warriors. And when they came back to this town and they discovered that the town had been burned and that their wives and their children, their sons and their daughters, like everybody, had been taken captive and hauled off, these men wept together. And they raised their voices and they wept until they had no more strength to weep. David's two wives also had been taken captive, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. And David was greatly distressed. I got to read that one again. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. And I'm going to stop right there for just a minute. I'm going to go back and read that again. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because all the people were bitter in soul. Okay, so our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And all the people were bitter in their minds, in their wills, and in their emotions. Plus, they were worn out from weeping, each for his sons and daughters. And then the next verse says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And that is the verse that continues to come to my mind of late, because I believe that those words are included in this Bible manuscript for a reason. And I believe part of that reason has to do with modeling to us. We can learn a lot, of course, from the Bible in general. We can learn a lot from the life of David. And when we read that he strengthened himself, what we're hearing is this. It was not looking good for David. He and his men had been away. While they were away, the town got burned. The wives and children all got taken off. The men, David, all of them, they wept until they were exhausted. They were devastated. They were sad. They didn't know if they were ever going to see their wives again. They didn't know the next chapter that we're getting ready to read, the next part of the chapter. They did not know in that moment what was going to happen next. All they knew is they came home and all their loved ones were gone. It's kind of dramatic. Then they got mad, right? They wept until they were worn out, and then they just got mad, and they were mad at David. And David looked around, and he had no one to comfort him. He had no one. His wives were gone. His men were turned against him. They were mad at him. It did not look good. It did not feel good to be David or to think about David that day. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Here's the thing. Maybe you've never come home and the place is burned down and your kids have been hauled off by a known enemy. Okay, maybe that actually hasn't happened to you. Maybe it has. It's less likely that it has, right? But when we think about the men coming back to Ziklag and seeing everything burned down, I'll bet you can relate to that from this perspective. I want you to bring to mind a time when you had pictured a part of your future and things didn't go as you expected. Maybe it was you lost your job. Maybe it was you moved across the country and you thought things were going to be one way and they were a different way. Maybe you were called to a different ministry. And as you began to serve, you realize, I think I missed God. That can feel like stuff has burned down. Maybe you were in a marriage and the marriage did not go as you envisioned. Maybe your spouse died and your future did not look anymore like you had envisioned. It felt like your whole future, as you had imagined with that person, had just burned down before your eyes. Maybe it was something completely different. Maybe just something that you had pictured in your mind how things were going to be. It didn't go that way. And it felt like the whole world had just been burned up before your eyes. And you felt a deep disappointment. Can you relate? I know you can. We have all of us have faced major disappointments. And you know, a lot of times, if we are plugged into like a community, maybe we're plugged into a local church where we have, maybe we're part of a small group and we have friends who can encourage us during those seasons where it feels like everything's been burned down. That's great. That's awesome. But sometimes we're in a different season and maybe we're between churches. Maybe we're not in church, haven't been in church in a minute. Maybe our life group isn't going to be the group to minister to us in this situation, whatever the situation is. Then what do? When we feel like our future has been burned up, what do? What can we do? Mercifully, most of the time we have someone we can talk to. But when we don't have someone we can talk to that has skin on, we always have access to our Father in heaven through his Holy Spirit. Because of the work of his Son, Jesus, we have access to the guy who can actually change the things, okay? We can talk to people about our problems, and sometimes that's just as far as it goes. We talk about them. They ruminate with us. To be clear, what ruminate means is to throw something up and chew on it again. Cows ruminate, okay? I'm actually not a huge fan of ruminating. God only gave me one stomach because he only wanted me to deal with stuff one time, right? And so I'm not a big fan of ruminating, but I am a huge fan of when somebody shares with me a problem that they're dealing with, to listen, to ask questions, to understand what's going on. And sometimes even before I do understand what's going on, it's like, hey, can we just pray about this? Like together, like right now, like I know we're in the middle of Walmart. Like I know we're at a restaurant bathroom together. Like I know I've never met you before and we're at a ball game, but hey, can I just pray for you? I love that approach because when we pray, that's where we have access to the guy, God, our Heavenly Father, who can actually change the thing. I can't change your stuff. You can't change my stuff. That's okay. He can change our stuff. So, hey, let's go talk to him about it. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 30, when we read, things had not gone well for David or for his men, and they cried. I love this. I love that this was included in the text. They wept. They wept. They raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. You know what happened right there? Those were big, strong men who were facing massive disappointment and at the moment they believed the loss of their wives and children, and they cried. You know what? In our culture today, is there a lot of expectation, tolerance, space for grown, strong, hardy men to cry when things don't go like they thought they would? No. And I'm telling you, we have done a huge disservice to our men. That ain't right, y'all. Right, okay? Oh my gosh, my inner redneck is getting stirred up here. But this really is important. It's important to, when you face disappointment, to face it and call it what it is. Feel the feelings. Now, let me be clear. They didn't like cry forever. They aren't still crying. They're now dead, actually. But they cried. They wept. They actively pressed into the grieving process. They didn't resist it. They didn't stuff it. They didn't try to be all stoic or anything like that. They wept. They were devastated. They were sad. They were scared. They didn't know what was going to happen next. And there was a time purposed for them to get it out. They had to get it out so they could get on with it. Don't you love that? They had to get it out so they could get on with it. And we can give ourselves that same gift when it looks like the world we had expected, when we're feeling disappointed and it looks like that, world, there's nothing but ashes of our hopes and dreams, our expectations. We got to get it out so we can get on with it. I think that's a word for somebody. Come on. Okay. So here's what happened. So David strengthened himself in the Lord. Let's go ahead and look at this just a little bit longer. So verse 7, and David said to Abiathar the priest, son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. Let me be clear. What in the world is an ephod? So an ephod's like an apron that the priest, the high priest, would wear. So not everybody had access to an ephod. When you put the ephod on, it meant that you were a priest and that you had access to God, the Father. Like you had access to him, you could talk to him, but you had to have this special apron because this is Old Testament. This is before Jesus came. And because of his completed work on the cross, we all have access to the Father. All of us who are in him have direct access to the Father. David actually had to get his special apron, the ephod, to be able to talk to God, to be able to hope to hear from God. This is so good. So Abiathar brought the ephod to David, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue after this band? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake and shall surely rescue. So David set out, and 600 men who were with him, and they came to the brook of Besor, where they were, where those who were left behind had stayed. So there had been like 200 men that were just too exhausted. This was before they found out their wives and kids were gone. They hadn't been able to go with the other 600 to do the other business they'd been on. So they went to the brook. That's where those men were being refreshed and relaxing and trying to get their strength back, so they could rejoin this group a little later. Oh my gosh, there's just so much good here that we can take from this. When we're exhausted, one of the best things we can do is stop, get to the brook, get to a place of refreshing, refresh yourself. The 600 men didn't go, well, you little losers, you know, you guys are so weak. No, they said, hey, stay here and get refreshed. You're exhausted. And we're going to go ahead and come back and get you. And they did. And there was no hating or judging. They just said, okay, you were exhausted, get refreshed by the brook. And there we go. So then David pursued, he and 400 men, 200 men stayed behind because they were too exhausted. Okay. Anyway, I might've just butchered part of that, but here's the point. David strengthened himself in the Lord by getting still, by remembering that he had access to the one who made him, to the one who purposed him, to the one who sustained him, to the one who had good plans for him. He got still before the Lord and he asked a question and he listened. Now, what does all that have to do with you today, dealing with your disappointments? What does that have to do with you? So here's the other thing I got to touch on before we move on. Your kids. Does it feel like your kids have been taken captive? And maybe it's not by a known or a seen enemy. Maybe your kids have been lured into lies from an enemy. And let's be clear, the enemy I'm talking about is the one we cannot see with our eyeballs, but we read about him in John 10:10. And I'm going to take a second and read this because it matters. So John 10:10 says the thief, so that's the enemy, the devil, Satan, call him what you want. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. This is Jesus talking. Well, it's saying what Jesus said, actually. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Oh my goodness. He goes on. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's a whole nother podcast, y'all. But the point is, there's a very real enemy. We cannot see him with our eyeballs, but we can see his work, who is purposed to only do three things: steal, kill, and destroy. He might not steal your stuff, but it might feel like he's stolen your kids. Maybe he's stolen their mind. Maybe he's stolen their will. Maybe he's stolen their emotions. Maybe he has killed their dreams. Maybe he's killed your dreams for them. Maybe he's destroyed hope for what you know, what they know, God's purpose for them. Maybe it feels like your kids have been taken captive by an enemy. Man, God sees you. God sees you and he knows you. And you know what? He cares. As much as it breaks your heart, it breaks his heart more. So much more. And so when King David, or when David saw that his wife and his children had been taken captive, actually he had two wives at that point. But when he saw, and he and his men saw that their wives and their children had been taken captive, were not where they were supposed to be, were not where they expected. They did not know if they were dead. They did not know if they were alive. What David did, he wept, and then he got still. He got on his ephod, which you don't need. You can just go straight to the Father, and he asked him a question. He asked him a question. Shall I go overtake them? And God spoke back to him. Yeah, I'm Wallace paraphrasing here. Go. You're going to overtake them. You're going to rescue. So at that moment with that word, God planted it in David's heart. You're going to rescue. So there's search and there's rescue. There's search and rescue. Search, there's rescue and then there's recovery. Okay, that's where I'm really wanting to say. There's rescue and there's recovery. God didn't say recover. Said you're going to rescue. Whenever there's a search and a rescue team that goes out to find somebody who's missing, it's a rescue as long as it's believed that they're alive, right? It's called recovery once it's not believed the person is alive anymore. God told David, you're going to find them. They're going to be alive. What a comfort. And praise the Lord. The next thing you know, David was able to share whatever he shared with all those men who were so mad at him that they were going to stone him to death, which is a gruesome way to go. And the next thing you know, God probably spoke in their spirits as well. They got all fired up and they went off to go get their women. And it is so powerful. How did David encourage himself? How did he strengthen himself? He got still. He got in the presence of the Lord. He asked the questions that were on his heart and he listened. So I'm going to ask you, how do you encourage yourself? How do you encourage yourself? All right, I'm going to go ahead and give you snaps, okay? I'm giving you some snaps right now because you're listening to an encouraging word right now. You're encouraging yourself right now. Actually, you're encouraging yourself by using me to hopefully encourage you. But hey, that counts. Okay, we can encourage ourselves by either listening to encouraging messages, spending time in God's word. That's where we get the power of the testimonies of the people who have gone before us, people that mattered, people that God continues to use thousands of years later. That's where we go and we read their stories. And there is power in their testimonies, and God can use that thing that happened like thousands of years ago to stir you up and to encourage you and to strengthen you today. I love that. I love that. I hope you love that too. But there are other things we can do to strengthen ourselves or to encourage ourselves. I'm going to just share maybe one or two, or we'll see however many, because remember how my notes fell on the floor right as I started this? They're still there. So ways that we can encourage ourselves. One, worship. Worship. When you're having a hard time, when you're facing hard stuff, and it happens to everybody, maybe the place didn't really burn down, but maybe it can feel like something has burned away in your life. Worship always changes the atmosphere. The atmosphere around us, the atmosphere within us. So when we need to strengthen or encourage ourselves, we can worship. Why is that so powerful and effective? For so many reasons. But when we go into a spirit of worship, listening to worshipful music, or we can worship without music. We can hum. We can declare God's word. We can go outside and just be in awe of his creation. We can do anything to take our eyes off of ourselves and off of what's going on around us and put our eyes on the bigness, the goodness, the faithfulness of God. That is worship. So worship is the first thing. Secondly, we can get still and pray. Now, again, say get still. Stillness isn't just like physically not moving. Sometimes we get so distracted by not moving. Oh my gosh, I'm supposed to be still. I'm not supposed to wiggle my foot or not supposed to move around. No, I'm talking about like a stillness inside your spirit. When we get still and we get to a place where we can just talk to the Lord, we can talk to him and we can hear him talk to us. That is going to help us strengthen ourselves. That is a powerful way to be encouraged. It can feel like you have a wonderful community, maybe hopefully a wonderful church family to support you and encourage you. But if for whatever reason you're in a season and you don't feel like you have that, you are not by yourself. You're never actually alone. Now, I'm talking to you as a woman who actually lives by myself, and I am too extroverted to live by myself. I know this now, especially after just coming out of a long, dark Alaskan winter living alone. I'm going to do some things differently next year. But I live alone, and I have been kind of in a transition since I moved up here several months ago, trying to find just that right church home. I've been attending a church, but I'm feeling like the Lord's leading me in a different direction, and that's okay. But what that means is I'm not really plugged in right now. I don't have in person a huge network of support and encouragement and community, but I do have an incredible community online who are like actual real people that I've known, some of them, many of them I've known in person, and we're able to encourage each other through the miracles of technology. I love that. So you're never actually alone, even if you think you're alone. Even during the long, dark winter here in Alaska, I was never actually alone. God was always with me. And when I would avail myself, he would bring people into my life to encourage me. And when those people were too far away or they were asleep because I'm in a different time zone or whatever, he is always here. He is always here. And we are one opening of our Bible away from being able to hear him. And we are one moment of stillness away from being able to talk to him. And I love that. That can encourage us. And when we feel encouraged, we can feel strengthened. So worshiping, getting still, being reminded that we're never actually alone. So I want to let you know that the story had a happy ending. And David and his men went, they found their women, the children, nobody had been, you know, killed. I do like me a good story with a happy ending, right? I know you do too. So I wanted to share that with you before I turn you loose today, but of course you could go seek that out and find it out for yourself. But I just thought I'd go ahead and do that right there. So I hope that this has been encouraging to you today. I believe that in today's day and times, you know, we have the internet, we have news, we have access to so much information, and it can feel overwhelming. It can feel stressful. We know everything that's happening everywhere in the world all the time. And for some people, it's better to not stay in touch with that all the time. You're still a good citizen. You're still a wonderful person. If you do not know everything that's going on in the world, if you find that it creates a sense of you in you of anxiety, stress, and overwhelm, maybe just dial it back. Maybe don't watch the news every day. Maybe watch the news once a week. Maybe just check in once in a blue moon. Because if that is creating stress and overwhelm in your life, then maybe you need to back off. Back off and fill your mind with things that are true and encouraging, not speculation about what might happen, what could happen. That is almost never a good place to hang out for very long. All right. Well, there's that. I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up for this week. I am honored that you and I got to spend this time together. And it is my prayer always that this is an encouragement to you, that this strengthens you, that this helps you feel more prepared, more ready to face whatever it is that God has for you in the rest of today, in tomorrow, and in the week to come. So be encouraged. It is my prayer that this has sown into more peace, health, and joy in your life. I'll see you next week. This has been Peace, Health, and Joy with Diana Wallace. Thanks for spending some time with me today. If this episode was encouraging to you, will you please do a couple things? One, leave me a review so other people can find this podcast. And two, subscribe so you never miss an episode. Until we meet again, I'm praying your week ahead is stuffed full with peace, health, and joy.